I'm letting go, soaring on the wind, 'cause I've learned in laughter or in pain how to survive.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCance. Thank you for joining. I'd like to acknowledge our loving and merciful God. And our listeners in Brazil, Australia, Kenya, Romania, France, Norway, New Hampshire, Arkansas, Nebraska, and Maine. Come here. I want you, and I'm going to have you. Let me do this for you. Let me go here with you. I'll do this, that, all for you. Wait a minute. Let's slow it down. Can the other person have a say whether they want you to do this or that, or go here or go there with them? And that's not to say that they don't want you to, but as the other person in the relationship, can they have a say? You know, the secular definition of aggressive, tonight's topic, implies a disposition to dominate, often in disregard of others' rights, or in determined and energetic pursuit of one's ends, aggressive in their business dealings. Militant also implies a fighting disposition, but suggests not self-seeking, but devotion to a cause. Did you hear that? You sure? According to social psychology, aggression describes any behavior or act aimed at harming another person or animal or damaging physical property. And they cited a couple examples, and if this is you, then just ponder. Do more than ponder, but just ponder. Committing acts of violence, physical violence, shouting, swearing, and using harsh language, gossiping, or spreading rumors about a friend, purposely breaking your friend's favorite cup, slashing your coworker's tires. Is that you? Because you're talking about being aggressive. Oh, they also indicate that violence often coincides, but they're two different things. And they give an example. They say that violence refers to extreme physical aggression intended to cause serious harm. To put it another way, aggression doesn't always involve violence, but violence always involves aggression. And the example that they're using, say you get angry with your brother or your sister during an argument, and you throw a book across the room in frustration. You didn't mean to hit them, but the book hits their head, leaving a bruise. That would be an act of physical aggression, but not necessarily violence. Well, sorry, I have to disagree from a legal standpoint or from a law enforcement perspective. It's violence. The difference is the person's motive. You know, premeditated or not. But on the other hand, they're saying if you, shove your sibling into a wall and then hit them with the goal of hurting them, that would be an act of violence. Aggressive behavior doesn't just violate social boundaries. It can also affect relationships and even have professional or legal consequences. I think I just said that. And so it's good to, in any form of relationship, remember, every person, irrespective of who they are, is a form of relationship. And so it's good to recognize that the ways that the aggression is going to come up in your life, in your life, in your life, and by recognizing it, then you'll be able to at least take some type of preventive steps toward addressing it, along with any anger that may be inside and any other emotion. You know it's true. And then there's some pros and cons. You say, well, how are you going to look at the positives of anger? Well, anger can be highly distressing emotion that results in all kinds of negative consequences. You know, emotions like that causes stress, like being upset. Are you upset today? Depressed. Are you depressed? Are you experiencing grief or anxiety? And it shows that anger remains the most popular and the most common, and not without a reason, because anger has some appeal. What type of appeal does it have? Well, it depends. Anger is activating and mobilizing. When you're angry, you feel as if you're doing something about what's triggering your stress. Is that lady, that guy, triggering your stress? Or maybe your child or children or your relatives or your friends or your so-called friends or your employer or your subordinates or your peers. But you feel there's a response you can make, you know, way of expending energy toward resolving the distressing situation, which, of course, leads you to take some type of action or do something about the problem that's affecting you. And so in a way, that anger is making you feel powerful, does it? Well, does it? Are you walking around feeling like you're in charge even when you're really not? And when you tell somebody off or give them a verbal lashing with your tongue, do you feel stronger, like you're in control? So you're saying that your anger, irrespective of how it came about, is enabling you to express yourself in a forceful way? Oh, and you're doing it with the hopes of getting some type of results? Well, what is that? Because by becoming angry as opposed to remaining calm and pleasant, you may get what you want. Oh, that's why you're doing it. Because you have the belief that there's a lot of people out there that's intimidated by your anger, and they're more susceptible when confronted with it than they normally would be. And you further have the belief that your anger is often a respected response. You know, it's a little bit different than when you hear me talk about meekness is not weakness. But there's a lot of people that interpret anger as standing up for oneself and not letting others take advantage of you. And there's other people that see it the same way, because that anger that's inside of you may be labeled as assertive, strong, and confident. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But notice the distinction I made, that individual who is meek but not weak. And then they're saying that there's a downside of your anger. It already shows the upside. Was that really an upside? But it's indicating that the downside of anger, it far outweighs any positive benefits that you think is there. Besides being emotionally distressing and making you a candidate for somebody to unfortunately physically assault you, causing your eyeballs to be black, and your anger can give you other things to be concerned about. Think about it. How about it affecting your physical health, you know, causing you to be sick? Because when you're angry, your body's going to react the same way it does when you're experiencing any other stress reaction. You know, stress can kill. You know that, don't you? Your anger is going to trigger your body to take a defensive stand, allowing yourself to be ready for any danger that can come your way. And so when your anger is intense and frequent, then what happens is the effects can be harmful, especially for your health, because it puts your health at risk. And God forbid you walk around with that excessive anger all inside, ready to come out, not understanding it can also break your heart. Did you know that recent research now indicates that your heart is vulnerable to your anger and its negative effects? Did you know that? Did you know that there are ways hostility can negatively affect the cardiovascular system? Did you know that? I run from negative people. It doesn't make a difference who you are, who you think you are, what power you may have, what title you may have. It doesn't make a difference. Do you notice how negative people love to be around negative people? But I run from them. I believe today is 100% chance of sunshine, and you're going to come along talking about every single moment, second of the day, it is not. But you know, there's a difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. But you already knew that, didn't you? You said you didn't. Well, assertiveness and aggression are different approaches to handling confrontation, each with distinguishing factors and often different outcomes. You want an example? Okay. Assertive behavior is typically a positive form of expression, while aggression is a negative form of expression. Assertive behavior is rooted in respect, while aggression is not, because aggression also often makes matters worse, while assertive behavior is more productive. Assertive behavior is all about standing up for yourself and your values in an unthreatening manner, which aggression is the other way. It puts others down. Well, let me ask you a question. You don't mind. Irrespective of who you are, the zip code, your lack of zip code, meaning you may be on the street, your title, your skin tone, your gender, degrees, lack thereof, doesn't make a difference. Feel putting others down based upon you. Somebody led you to believe you were what? Over another human being on this planet. Assertive and aggressive behavior are two totally different approaches to communication and often confrontation. but one often reaps better benefits. Now, which one do you think it is that reaps better benefits? Because a lot of time that aggressive person using whatever title, temporary power, temporary money, temporary materialism, you name it, is using that to keep you down, keep you behind, keep you standing still, keep you doing what they, whoever they are, want you to do. It can be hard to make the difference between assertive versus aggressive behavior. Assertive behavior is often, again, a positive form of expression. And remember, the other is not. Why? Aggression is perceived poorly due to the disregard for others. You've been around those individuals that got their nose all looking down, and then all of a sudden when they open the lips, they're talking down to you like they got it going on. You know it's true. Assertive behavior, again, is rooted in respect. In respect. So you can assertively tell that loved one in your life, you can let boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, and husband, what you want out of the relationship. Letting them know how serious you are, but you're also being respectful for the both of you, not just selfishly for you. You know, the story is told of this couple. Maybe it's you. Prior to getting married as boyfriend and girlfriend, girlfriend and boyfriend, they both agreed that one would quit working after they got married. Now, you didn't hear me say which one, but I know there's somebody. Then all of them magically said, which one? And I haven't even told the story. After they got married, the husband, oh, I know that one. Oh, I knew it was the guy. But there happened to be tension in the relationship. And they both sat back down. And they both openly, respectfully shared what they both meant individually when they agreed that one would quit work after they got married. So the guy, he shared his feelings, his thoughts, what he meant, and his wife shared hers. He said, I just meant for you to quit work for a little bit. His wife said, well, I meant I was going to quit work for good. They said the same thing, but meant something altogether different. Until they sat back down, letting each other know. So, you know, because they wanted their relationship to mirror their behavior so that it's building, not taken away. Assertive behavior is all about standing up for yourself, but aggression usually often involves threatening, attacking, ignoring others. Is that you? Where is it? Are you losing your temper? Are you losing your patience? Are you overt acting with aggression? Well, are you? Well, how are you handling it? What are you trying to get out of that confrontation that you're involved in? And better yet, believer of the household of faith, if that's you, what does the Bible say about an aggressive person, even if it's not you? The Bible is talking about an aggressive person. Well, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, the word, not Gary, because Gary didn't have one. And hot-tempered man, which is applicable to ladies as well, stirs up strife. Are you running around here, ladies, men, ladies, running around here, irrespective of your age, irrespective of your gender, irrespective of your zip code, irrespective of your materialism, your temporary title, your money, whatever the case may be, are you running around with an angry, aggressive temper, stirring up strife? But the rest of the verse says that he or she who is slow to anger quiets contention. Or you run around here trying to be a peacemaker. You know, because the Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19, it warns against anger. And when you look at the other epistles, you see how he handles the topic, because it requires extra consideration, especially when you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19 that I just cited. Repay no one evil for evil. Now, we little humans and you humans, as I grab my water, you know, going in and out of these different weather temperatures, these different locales, you don't know what to expect. Try to expect everything. Try to preserve voice at the same time. But back to the topic. I want you to get off of it. Are you running around repaying evil for evil? The word says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, I was sharing with the brethren the other day, you may be able to get along with this person, and I cannot. And I may be able to get along with that person, and you cannot. The word lets us know, as much as possible, the life within you. Live peaceably with all men. Are you looking around today around the globe? Little men, little women, little men. Rather be at war with each other, rather be angry with each other, rather than fight each other, rather than profane each other, do all these things against each other, rather than being at peace. The word says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You got that little old man, little woman with that temporary title, irrespective of who she is, who he is. Never taste power before, never taste a title before, and all that that goes with it. Now you have it, and now all of a sudden somebody's whispering in your ear, you got the power. Now they're singing it in your ear, you got the power, you're dancing with it, and you're hurting people because you think you are a little g god in somebody's life. It can be in your relationship, in your home, out there in your neighborhood, out there at your place of worship, out there in your job, the medical world, the criminal justice world, the sociality world. You name the world system. Oh, let's not forget the political world or your employment. But Paul had earlier commended the Romans because of their reputation for great faith, like you see in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. And when you really look at it, unless you were back there at that time, you can only do look at it from whatever information you have, historical, biblical. Do you really believe that those believers of the household of faith who were trying to serve Jesus Christ in Rome were tracking down their enemies? Do you really believe that? Paul warned, you don't have to be so dramatic. You know, and you got to think about it. One way you can repay somebody is that gossip, you know, that gossip that can destroy somebody's life. Think about it. And the reason why you're doing it, rather than it covering with godly love, is because of anger being manifested in little ways. You know it's true. And when you really look at it from the biblical standpoint, the congregation at Ephesus, Paul warns them to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, quarreling, and evil speaking over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Okay, believer, is that you and your relationship with whoever's in your life that you said you loved, you went by that pond of water, you prayed for, all of that? Here's what your prayer was. You went by, oh, God, send me another bitter person. Send me an angry person. Send me somebody that I can argue with so I can speak evil of. Does that make sense? But you're doing it. You know, Paul continued over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, to put off anger, wrath, and malice. Because you got to ask the question, how are these attributes showing up in your life? Well, when you go back looking at it, at those two places of worship with those believers, not a building, the Ephesians and Colossians were probably neither burning down their neighbor's stables nor poisoning their donkeys at the time. But today, you don't hear of believers of the household of faith or individuals who are attending places of worship running around out there, you know, cutting up the tires of their fellow brethren, you know, or when the church service ends, you're out there fighting each other? Or are you? Because if you are, you got to think about it, especially when you hear of anger, wrath, and malice coming from inside. And you notice how Paul was making it a point to mention these? Do you notice that? So, since he's mentioned it, now I know you're going to take a lovingly walk around you, only if you want to. And you're looking at how it came about. And you understand that that anger is not from God and it can destroy not only you and you and you, but others. And if you don't deal with and remove it, then it's going to escape in various ways to carry out that damage on somebody, because you're talking about that hidden anger. That's right, it's hidden. You know, you're leaving that person hanging. You're causing chaos in other people's environment. You know you are. You're refraining from doing good when it's within your power to do so. You're giving all those mixed messages for the sake of leaving other people confused, or you're withholding necessary information as a way of punishing another person and leaving them at a disadvantage. And think about how it's coming about secret. You're sitting out there looking at it, causing it, and at the same time, you're secretly rejoicing at that other person's calamity. And then you're pouting when things go well for that person that you're trying to destroy. And you think it's something minor, but it's not. Think about you living with a person like that, not only down here on earth, but in heaven. You know it's not going to be in heaven. God is clear about that. But when you think about how that the heart, yeah, your heart, and your heart, and mine too, is behind the anger, whether subtle or obvious, then you can see why God said to those who practice such things, you know, make it a habitual way of being angry, would not fit in his family. And then when you look at our Savior in contrast, he says that his disciples are those who love one another. Okay, so my brethren in the household of faith, you see that other believer, you're sitting right next to him, you're sitting there listening to him, you're teaching it, you're fellowshipping with each other. Do you really love each other? Are you really looking out for the well-being of each other? Are you really ready to, you know, do some personal sacrifice on behalf of that brethren of yours? And if that's the case, then you know, like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about, that love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, does not provoke evil, and does not rejoice in iniquity. So, now why are you aggressive now? Well, what's going on with you and that relationship? What's the danger in being aggressive in your relationship? And do you really know the difference between aggressiveness and assertiveness? Do you really? Are you able to see it? Are you able to see it in you? You sure? All right. God cares about everything that concerns you. So feel free to talk to him about anything, including that aggressiveness that's going on in your life. And while you're doing that, remember what Mark 16:15 says. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Do you notice it didn't say just to this person, that person, this skin tone, that skin tone, this zip code, that zip code? To all persons that God, through his Holy Spirit, is leading you to open your lips to tell about the good news, you know, the gospel, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, you know my heart and all my desires and the secret things I'll never tell. Lord, you know them well. Though I may be young, I see and understand that at times like sheep we go astray and things get out of hand. So I promise to be true to you. To live my life in purity as I will be content, knowing that you